I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. It was the largest mass suicide in history. More than 900 followers of the Reverend Jim Jones killed themselves in Guyana on November 18, 1978. The story is told in a new film. It's called Jonestown, The Life and Death of People's Temple. The documentary tells its story through archival footage of Jim Jones and his worshippers and contemporary interviews with survivors. One of those survivors is Jim Jones, Jr. The elder Jones adopted Jim when he was just a child. Jim Jones, Jr. is here in our studio now. And, Jim, you say that your parents, when they adopted you, they were the first Caucasian couple in Indiana, where you were living, to adopt an African-American child. How old were you then?
I was adopted when I was 10 weeks old.
10 weeks old.
Yeah, so that's 1960.
Now, you say in the film that your father, one of the reasons that he adopted you was he had an affinity for the plight of minorities, specifically for African-Americans. And this is during the period of the civil rights movement here in the United States. You say that your dad talked black. And maybe that's one of the reasons that there were so many African-Americans who were attracted to him and People's Temple. What did you mean by that?
Well, I think two reasons, twofold. One, his background, Lynn, of growing up on the wrong side of the tracks.
This is Lynn, Indiana.
Lynn, Indiana. A poor, kind of a dissolute post-depression area where his father was unemployed. His mother worked in the penitentiary as a cleaning person. You know, kind of desolate farm town.
Yeah, and he would specifically seek out, in fact, black friends or black kids that
yes.
he would bring home to the dismay of his father, at
yes.
least.
Yes, yes, he would, because he felt an affinity toward other people who were kind of left out and shut out. At that time, you know, when he adopted me, People's Temple had soup kitchens. He created the original rainbow family that is now something that we think about all the time.
Meaning your family.
My family. We had African-American, we had American Indian, we had Asian American. It was truly a rainbow family.
Wow. And he incorporated this in his preaching. Let's hear now some of the preaching of your father, Jim Jones.
I represent divine principle, total equality, a society where people own all things in common, where there is no rich or poor, where there are no races. Wherever there's people struggling for justice and righteousness, there I am, and there I am involved.
You can hear a little bit there of the people in the background who were so supportive of him. These are members of People's Temple. I want to hear from some of those members, in fact, now, because his message was a very seductive one, certainly not only for minorities, but also for Caucasians in the United States at that time. Here's a former member of the People's Temple, Joyce Shaw Houston, and it's followed by the voice of Jim Jones himself.
The focus of Jim's message was taken from the Bible, where Jesus, in his earliest days, told people to sell all things and have all things in common.
Jesus Christ had the most revolutionary teachings to be said, in the sense that he said to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, take in the stranger, minister to those, the widows and afflicted in their suffering. And we feel that no one really tried Christianity too effectively, or the Judeo-Christian tradition.
So how was that message that he preached at the time, and this is in the 60s and the 70s, how was it able to reach so many people? What was happening at the time?
Well, you have to kind of go back at that time and look at, you know, we had lost many of our leaders, our focal people that had a vision. I mean, we lost Malcolm, we lost Martin, we lost John, we lost Robert Kennedy. You know, there were no real visionaries left.
For anybody, you're saying?
For anybody. I mean, in the sense of the civil rights or people who wanted to bring the idea of racial equality together.
Right. So for people of that ideology, people of that end of the spectrum, because he was embracing and to a certain extent embraced by the left, including politicians on
yes.
the left.
Yeah. Well, I think what he created was this organization that filled a void. I mean, if you look at the black church at that time, they talked about what they were going to do. People's Temple did it. Jim Jones facilitated, you know, really reaching out to the community.
By doing what?
Well, having the soup kitchens, having the senior citizen homes, having the drug rehab programs. And to be involved in that was just being a part of People's Temple.
Now, as a family member, you and your brothers and sisters, some adopted, some biological children of Jim Jones and his wife, were you automatically members of People's Temple?
Yes, you were. Yes, but it was more of, you know, I remember as we did the whole revival meetings, I would often speak at the revival meetings.
What would you say?
I talked about needing a man with vision. And I know when I got up on stage and talked about People's Temple and the things they did, I believed it. I was a true believer. I believe that we should have social justice. I believe that, and I still do. Now, do I believe that you should give up your identity and control it to one person? This is where I've been educated.
Okay, been educated since 1978, you mean? Yeah. Because this is what people did. People worked many, many long hours every day, members of the People's Temple, and they had to turn over their paycheck, basically, to Jim Jones and the temple. They wanted to.
Yeah, they wanted to. I mean, that was a part of the commitment. It was the Acts of the Apostles. You sold all things to live in common.
With tinges of what we know to be cultism today.
Yes.
Because, for instance, you were not allowed to talk, or at least it was discouraged if you talk among yourselves.
Exactly.
So one of the questions I had when I saw the film was, could it have stayed that way? Because the person who brought the good things also brought bad things, and they seemed to be a part of him from the very beginning. We talked a little bit about his background, impoverished background in Lynn, Indiana. He also displayed some very disturbing characteristics then. Maybe you can tell us, as a kid.
I think this is what the best part of the film does. It shows the different levels of the dysfunctionality and the functionality of Jim Jones, kind of the paradoxical aspect of People's Temple or the paradoxical aspect of Jim Jones. You know, on the surface, you saw this wonderful, fantastic, very seductive movement. But underneath, you heard these ringing signs of a complete dysfunctional person.
Dysfunctional in what way?
He had a serious problem with people leaving him. You know, separation was not an option for him. There was a kind of a self-worth issue. He did not really feel the importance. So then in People's Temple, he created this environment around him that gave him complete power.
All right, let's go back to the film. And a sign of that is something that happened even before the Guyana move. This is at the group's church in San Francisco. A former member is describing what happened on one New Year's Eve.
Jim started talking about our cause. And he said, this punch is going to be passed out to everybody here. We all drank our punch. And then, he said, you just drank poison. And we will all die right here in the church together as one. The women were just screaming, oh no, my baby, my baby. And all of a sudden Jim says, that wasn't poison you drank.
Jim said that this was a test of loyalty. He just wanted to see if we were truly committed to our cause, and that was how we would show it.
Do you remember that time, Jim?
Yes. This was just right after my father came back from visiting Huey Newton in Cuba, 1976. And Huey Newton had talked about his book, Revolutionary Suicide. And Huey's pretense was living in America as African-American, the government or society was day by day creating or presenting suicide to you. So it was better to go out and commit revolutionary suicide, to die for a cause, than to be chipped away at this slow death. My father took the concept of revolutionary suicide as a testimony of people willing to die for a cause.
But he morphed the message of
exactly.
Huey Newton and the Black Panther
exactly.
into this test of loyalty, which
exactly.
brings in the control issue. Now, mm-hmm. despite some of the questions that were raised around this, even if people only could silently talk about their concerns or questions, many people did follow him to Guyana. Mm. They set up People's Temple in Guyana 300 miles into the woods, into the jungle. You could basically only get there on the small
yes.
footpath. The idea was that it would be a city that would be a repository for the people who believed as your dad did.
It would be a utopia. They were trying to create a utopia. You know, there wasn't going to be any isms here. There wasn't going to be any issues of the discrimination that we had in the United States. And that's really was the theme of Jonestown. It was, we were going to be the human rights statement of the United States. We left the United States in protest of the human rights issues. But at the same time, when we did that, we gave up a lot of individuality to Jim Jones.
How so?
Well,
What do you remember?
What I remember is that any information from the outside world was filtered through Jim Jones. So you were skewed on what was going on in the world.
People's Temple had not been existing in Guyana for long when questions came up about it. And the questions prompted a visit by a California congressman at the time, Leo Ryan. Were you there when Congressman Ryan went down? Tell us what happened.
I met him the day before he went to Jonestown.
Uh-huh.
I was in Georgetown, the capital of Guyana. And I met him the night before he was to go out to Jonestown. And many of us in Georgetown were very excited about him coming out, because we looked at it as a testimony, him firsthand, to see what was created. There was a fear that was there, people might have wanted to leave. So there was a hush-hush, you know, that paranoia that was created in People's Temple. But what was so interesting, and the film talks about this, or really illustrates this really well, is the night before the horrific events, Leo Ryan is on stage, and they're having this great celebration of him being there. They're showing him the products of Jonestown. And he gives his own testimony of how wonderful Jonestown is.
But then reality set in very quickly.
Well, what happened was after the congressman, after people had identified that they had wanted to leave, the paranoia, the issues, the dysfunctionality of Jim Jones was truly exacerbated. There was actually about 12 people who actually left with the congressman. Security guards were sent out to shoot the congressman at the airstrip and many of the people who were trying to leave. And when they returned, Jim called a meeting and told the people that the congressman has been shot. And he told people that the government would come in and take the kids away and they had to die for the cause.
I remember this tape. I remember when this tape was released on the news. Let's hear it now. This is your father, Jim Jones, inviting people to
die.
If we can't live in peace, then let's die in peace.
Maria Katsaras walked up to him and whispered in his ear, and he looked at her and said, "Is there any way to make it taste less bitter?" And she said, no, apparently not. And he said, "Is it quick?" And she said, "Yeah, it's supposed to be quick."
That last voice was the voice of a camp survivor, Tim Carter. Your father was saying, if we can't live in peace, then let's die in peace. Do you remember how you found out about the mass suicide at People's Temple? You were not that far away.
We actually were radioed, and we were told that this was going to happen.
That was going to happen?
Yes.
So you knew?
Yes. And then so we tried to get to the embassy. We tried to get to the police to take us out there. And, you know, they were hearing reports. They heard reports that the congressman was shot. They didn't know what was going on. This is a third world country.
How far away were you?
120 miles as a crow flies, but by plane, an hour, by boat, 24 hours.
Jim, if you had believed in your father's message, as you did, growing up with it, preaching on his behalf, being the heir apparent to People's Temple, why did you not endorse that final act?
I wasn't there. I mean, that's the million-dollar question that people always want to ask me. And I think if I say, oh, if I was there, you know, I wouldn't have taken it. Well, that tells me that my wife who died and my mother and all my family, 27 people, that completely diminishes why they thought they should do that. I wasn't there. I wasn't caught up in the chemistry or the seduction of what was happening. I mean, my last words to my father was, I could not believe this is really occurring. I asked him, and it echoes in my brain, in my heart, is there something else we can do? And he felt there wasn't.
This is prior to people actually drinking the Kool-Aid.
This is on the radio when he gave us the order for us to commit suicide.
How old were you then?
I just turned 18.
You went to the temple afterwards?
Yes, when we came back to California, we went to the temple. They were in shock. They didn't know what was going on.
They being who?
The people who were still back in California.
And what do you remember about what you saw there?
Just disbelief. I mean, not really knowing what's going on, what's happening. I mean, here's something you've given your whole soul, life, and mind and body to, this cause, and it's all gone.
Your father was shot that day. A gunshot to the head. How did you find out about that?
The Guyanese government told us.
What has it been like for you to try and make sense of what happened just about 30 years ago and to carry the name of Jim Jones?
Actually, I'm very proud of my name. I'm very proud of my past.
What makes you proud?
Well, I think one, you know, I think it says this in the film. This organization tried to make a new world. They failed. We didn't do it, but we tried. And that's the biggest void that can never be replaced.
Just one final question for you. You're proud of your name, Jim Jones Jr. You go places and state the fact that these people who were followers of your dad literally drank the Kool-Aid. And people think, well, that's where that comes from, that term comes from, because it was Kool-Aid that they drank. But I wonder at the same time if there are times in your thinking where you're, since you were adopted, where you're calmed by the fact that you don't share the same biology as your dad.
Well, see, that would say that my brother, who's his biological son, has more guilt or more sense of tragedy than me. No. I think that the main thing that I'm really so excited about this movie, it gives a story to understand. And I think the real reason why I'm really supporting it is my wife, who I've known for 22 years, married for 19. When we saw this movie together, the screening, she got in the car with me. She goes, I finally get it. And I hope this movie allows people, when they see it, just to understand the complexity of people's trouble in Jonestown.
Jim Jones Jr., thank you very much.
Thank you.